Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I hope you are back with us today, anticipating a good and wholesome time in God's Word, and that prayerfully you are learning more about who God is, even as we set the stage for the calling of God on Abraham's life. This is our series, God and Abraham, and as we leave Genesis chapter 11 and prepare for Genesis chapter 12, at this time of transitioning between the chapters, we have paused to solve two mysteries. We are nearly finished with the first, and then we will deal with the second one more quickly. So let me give you a brief reminder of what the mystery is as we zero in on the solution we like best. Or should I say I like best? You may have an altogether different way to solve this case. You remember that Genesis chapter 11 verse 26 says, Terah lived 70 years and became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This verse tells us that Terah was 70 years old when he became a father. 70. Then Genesis 11 and verse 32. I'm reading Genesis 11, 32. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Terah died at 205 years old. Genesis 11, verse 32. Then into the next chapter, Genesis chapter 12, and I will read part of verse 4, Genesis 12, 4. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Here we learn that at the time Abram left the city of Haran, Abram was 75 years old. 75. And then this key verse, Acts chapter 7 and verse 4. Then Abraham left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. From there, after his father died, God had him move to this country in which you are now living. What Stephen says is that Abram did not leave Haran until after his father, Terah, died. That was Acts chapter 7, verse 4. When we pull all of this together, as we must, we come to the conclusion that Abram was 75 when he departed from Haran. He left Haran after his father died, and his father died at 205. That means Terah was 130 years old when Abram was born. 205 minus 75 equals 130. However, Genesis 11 verse 26 says that Terah was 70 years old when he became the father of three sons, Abram, listed first, Nahor, and Haran. Here's the mystery. Terah was either 70 years old or 130 years old when Abram was born. Which is it? Let me repeat that. Terah was either 70 years old or 130 years old when Abram was born. Which is it? Both cannot be true at the same time. Well, we've looked at four possible ways to solve this mystery. I will not repeat the first three because we have been over them, and I do not agree those are solutions at all. Last time, I just had enough time to introduce you to what I believe is the answer. Go back with me in the Bible to Genesis chapter 11 and verse 26. I want to read verse 26 again to pound it into your memory, to get this front and center on your busy mind. Terah lived 70 years and became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Bible readers usually just blow right through this verse without giving it a second thought, and will assume that when Terah was 70, Abram was born first, Nahor was born second, and Haran was born third. When Terah was 70, Abram was born. That would make Nahor and Haran younger brothers of Abram. But what if it is actually the other way around? Abram is the youngest son, not the oldest. If that is true, then this solves the mystery. Indeed, Terah was older than 70 when Abram was born. Abram was 75 when he left Haran, and Terah was 205 when he died at Haran. It all fits. But of course, we will need evidence to prove that Abram could well be the younger of these three sons and not the oldest. And I think we have that, and I'd like to share it with you now. My first evidence, given in support of solving the mystery this way, is that Abram's name is listed first among these three sons because Abram is the most important. He is the most prominent of the three boys, given what God does in his life. These three names, Abram, Nahor, and Haran, are listed by Moses in the order of importance, not in the birth order. After all, this same thing happens with Noah's three sons. Listen to a couple of other texts in the book of Genesis. I'm prepared now to read Genesis chapter 5, verse 32. This is Genesis 5, 32. Noah was 500 years old, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. This sounds familiar to Genesis 11, verse 26, doesn't it? And note the order of the boys. Shem comes first, Ham comes second, and Japheth comes third. But in Genesis chapter 9, there is a horrible episode in which Noah gets drunk. Noah was righteous, but he was not perfect. The Bible says he planted a vineyard, he drank the wine, became drunk, and stumbled into his tent where he lay naked. If you have been around a drunk, this is common. One thing leads to another, and Japheth, walking backward into the tent so he would not see his father in the nude, he took a garment and placed it over his dad Noah. This was admirable. Japheth did the right thing, and he was rewarded for it. He then became the most prominent son in the genealogy of Noah that we read about in Genesis chapter 10. Japheth switches places. He leapfrogs over Shem and Ham in prominence. I will read briefly in Genesis 10, starting with verses 1 and 2. Now these are the records of the generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and sons were born to them after the flood. Verse 2, the sons of Japheth. Then verse 6 of Genesis 10, the sons of Ham, and then down at verse 21 of Genesis 10, also to Shem. Did you catch how the names are now in a different order according to importance? Verse 1 repeats what Genesis 5 said, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, but the rest of Genesis 10 puts Japheth first, Ham second, and Shem third. Shem started off first and ended up last. The same thing happens when we go quite a ways in the Hebrew Bible over to the book of 1 Chronicles and find our place in chapter 1. This is another genealogy. 1 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 4 uses the same original order for Noah's sons as Genesis 5. I am reading 1 Chronicles 1, part of verses 4 and 5. Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Verse 5, the sons of Japheth. I hope you caught it. Noah's sons are Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and yet Japheth is then listed first in the genealogy, with Ham being mentioned next, down at verse 8, and Shem not being mentioned until down at verse 17. Again, the order of the sons' names are reordered. The descendants of Japheth include the Persians, the Greeks, Romans, Scythians, and Macedonians. Historians say Japheth's descendants spread over much of Asia and Europe and then through colonization into North America. This fulfilled what Noah prophesied for Japheth in Genesis chapter 9. The Japheth started off being listed last and then was listed first according to prominence. If we want to solve a mystery, we need thorough detective work, right? Well, that is what we are doing by searching these other texts of the Bible, elsewhere in Genesis and in 1 Chronicles. I hope that you might get a hold of your Bible when time permits and search along with me. Read Genesis 5 and 10 along with 1 Chronicles 1. And remember, here is how all this connects to Abram not being the oldest of Terah's sons, but rather the youngest. Abram's name is listed first at Genesis 11, verse 32, only because Abram is the most prominent of the three men, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Our study of Abraham in relation to God, we're going to see how God will choose Abram and made him easily the most important of these three men. Knowing this, as he writes Genesis, Moses puts Abram's name first. Now, let's step back from those details and let me remind you what I am doing. I'm giving you biblical evidence to prove that Abram could well be the younger of the three sons of Terah and not the oldest. My first piece of evidence is that Abram's name is listed first among these three sons because Abram is the most important. He's the most prominent. And now my second piece of evidence, supporting how I solve this mystery, is that God himself has a practice of choosing the youngest sons. God himself has the practice of choosing for himself and his purposes the youngest, not the oldest of a man's sons. Lord willing, when we gather again tomorrow, I will expand on this second piece of evidence. Any good detective show has more than one episode, right? Well, it's the same here, and we'll have another episode tomorrow when you join us for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others. And be sure and join me for the next one.